This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hey, great to be with you.
Bridget, we've been talking about it for a long time. It's almost here now, August 27th, not far away at all. Still have some seats available, I think, for our dinner. But if you want to go, please give us a call. We got some exciting things this year. For the first time in, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 years, we have both the Archbishop Thompson and Bishop Doherty from Lafayette. We have both.
Yeah, they each have a table, right?
Well, they'll both be at our dinner. And Father Douglas Hunter is going to be our speaker. And he is chaplain for the Colts, so he'll have lots of interesting stories as well. August 27th, not too late to sign up. To do that, visit our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org. CatholicRadioIndy.org. Or call us at 317-870-8400. And I know this other event seems like a long, long way away. If you're familiar with the Passion Play at Oberammergau, Germany, happens only once every 10 years. The residents of the village put on a Passion Play, and it is next year. Not this year, but next year.
2020, right?
2020. Catholic Radio has a seminar. Not a seminar. A pilgrimage. There we are.
That's what we're going to have.
Yeah, you'll have a seminar on the way over there. It's a long ride.
That's right.
A pilgrimage to Oberammergau next September 12th through the 20th of 2020. So September 12th through the 22nd. And we can only accommodate about 30 people on that trip. And I say about, the tickets are very kind of precious. There's only so many tickets to the play. And the people that put pilgrimages together have to buy them long time in advance. So those tickets are already bought, and there are 30 of them. And so that's what we're looking for to fill our pilgrimage. And right now we've got about 9 left.
Wow.
About 9 left. So if you've been thinking about it and thought, well, gee, I got all the way till September of next year to think about it, maybe not.
Right.
Maybe not. So please give us a call. We can tell you more about it. 317-870-8400. Or again, you can find out more on the website, CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Well, we've got a great show lined up for you today. We are going to be talking about college life, mental health, and spirituality. And our guest today is Grant Freeman. He is the Assistant Campus Minister at St. Thomas Aquinas Parish in West Lafayette on the Purdue University campus. So welcome to Faith in Action, Grant.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
You drove all the way here for us. So praise the Lord, right?
Amen.
So, you have been involved with young adults and campus ministry for a while, and everybody can benefit from understanding mental health and spirituality from a Catholic perspective. And the Catholic faith obviously can be a really good tool in helping us through various challenges in life or with mental health. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, I think the way you put that, it can be taken as a very good statement there. The Catholic faith is a very good help for us in our spiritual journey, also with our day-to-day issues, whether it's a struggle or whether it's a joy. It's there with us. I might tweak the statement a little bit by saying that some people may equate a good, strong faith life with equilibrium in mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and the faith is not really a tool. It's a relationship.
That's a great point.
And so there are many things that the Catholic faith offers us as aids in the journey to heaven, also with our neighbor's sacraments, things like that. So the tweaking of that statement might be that the Catholic Church's intellectual tradition and witness of the saints provides an excellent vantage point from which to consider mental health and spirituality and how the two are intertwined.
Great analogy. I want to talk a little bit about your background. How you're in campus ministry, but now you're getting into or have been getting into the idea of mental health or the study of mental health. Talk about your background and how you got into mental health, I guess.
Okay, that's a great opportunity for me just to give my little pitch here on.
Sure.
I'm a Catholic, down to my toes. That's where my identity is, and then my vocation as a father and a husband.
With five kids, right?
Yep, one, four, and then one's on the way. So
wow, praise God, that's really awesome.
And new one coming at the new year. So yeah, so and I'm a laborer in the vineyard. I've been in Catholic education for quite some time, since about 2007, and then recently I've been at the St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Center at Purdue for the past 5 years. So. I'm sure
there's a whole book out of that right there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a rocking place, you know. It is a rocking place. I mean, that parish is unbelievable. I mean, we're going to be having, or we have had, or we're having Father Pat talk about that too when he gets into town. So yeah, we're going to talk a lot about that. You are you getting your master's degree, or you're done with your master's degree in mental health? And what led you to get into that?
That's a great question. So throughout my time working in the Catholic world and education and at St. Tom's at Purdue, I've been always working with young people and trying to open up doors for them to have a new vision of how to live well, live a Catholic way of life. And so in my attempts to open the doors to people, it ends up where people are asking, hey, what can I do to get a little bit better in my life? What can I need to get a better relationship with God. I need to do all these things. And so as I've been working with people doing that, I end up going down a tour of their life. And it's not so much that they have a struggle with the faith. They love God, and they want to have that relationship very, very strong and thorough in their life. But they have so many other issues that they're dealing with that cloud or present hurdles in their life, that a lot of it is trying to identify how they can overcome those hurdles or understand the sufferings that come, the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune,
mm-hmm.
That come along the way. And so I had become kind of an amateur counselor along the way, and I decided to just to professionalize that in a sense, because I wanted to be the best mentor, the best advisor that I could be. And so I needed to dig into that.
We're talking with Grant Freeman. He is the assistant campus minister at St. Thomas Aquinas in West Lafayette at the Purdue campus. And he is becoming an expert, I guess, in the mental health area. He's working on his master's degree in mental health. And we're talking about mental health and spirituality. So what exactly is the connection between those two?
That's an excellent question, because we sometimes associate, and I mentioned earlier, we sometimes equate a strong faith life with mental health. That if I've got it right with God, then everything else will be ironed out. And that's just not the case.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn from the saints that they have a very strong relationship with God, and they suffer intensely.
Yeah.
So the connection between mental health and spirituality is, well, mental health really has to do with the psychological and emotional well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And then spirituality is a seeking after God.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you defined those. So what let's be honest, life is really difficult, and mm-hmm. we all have challenges. And with regard to mental health, are there unique challenges that college students face or young people in general? What's the need, and what have you observed in your last 5 years in dealing with this age group?
We don't have enough time in this segment to go through all of that.
All right, well, maybe hit a couple that the most pronounced or common.
Yeah, I think that the most pronounced issue is the development of healthy relationships.
Okay.
That is probably the greatest hurdle people have. There's so much anxiety about what's going to happen next in life. How am I going to have friends? Where am I going to be in life? What's my community going to be like? And then they're coming from a place where they see all around them broken relationships all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Many in their own families, in their friends, they go through high school and they have friend one day, then there's something happens, and mm-hmm. then they're not friends anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so it's a very fragile situation.
And even just going to college, I mean, there's a big, it's totally a new experience. I mean, you're starting brand new, especially if you're going to a large campus. Even if you're going to a small campus, you're out of the house, you're on your own.
And that's really good. And what a wonderful adventure to go on.
Yeah.
And it's such a noble thing to do, is to strike out and to gain an education, to gain an awareness, to stand on your own 2 feet. And it's sometimes a shock, because the adversities that they face at college have always been taken care of until they get there.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Like? Laundry?
Well, laundry might be one of them.
That is one, probably, right?
Yeah, having clean clothes, suddenly becomes an issue. But I think that navigating how to find meaning in their life, where are they going to hang their hat? What's their identity mm-hmm. going to be? And it's not that they want to just carry on with their own family name, but they want to also start something on their own. And that can be an anxiety-producing event.
Sure. And you're faced with situations like when you lived at home, mom and dad probably said, get up, it's time to go to church. And when you're in campus, you don't have to get up if you don't want to.
That's right, unless you have good friends that are banging on your door. And that's why the relationship issue is so important. I mean, we have this relationship with God, and then we have this relationship with others. And that's what the Catholic Church is all about, getting us in touch with God through sanctifying grace, and then also being able to create connections with one another through that sanctifying grace, but as pilgrims on a journey, going to Oberammergau maybe, but on this journey towards Christ together. And that's what's so important about it.
And I think it's interesting that you brought out the point of finding meaning in your life, that young people are looking for that. And I think people of all ages, like different stages in their life, they're looking for meaning. And sometimes they think, well, is this all there is? And so we need to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about how do you find meaning, and what are some maybe strategies that you can do to deal with anxiety, because, you know, that's a big problem too. So we'll have that with more Faith in Action when we come back.
Here is your special invitation to our annual dinner. It's coming right up on Tuesday, August 27th. It'll be at the Northside Events and Social Club, formerly the Knights of Columbus Hall, near 71st and Keystone. It begins with a reception and silent auction at 6 p.m., then dinner at 7. There'll be a live auction with some really special items. If you have new items that you'd like to donate to either the silent auction or the live auction, please let us know right away. Father Douglas Hunter, pastor of St. Rock Parish and chaplain for the Indianapolis Colts, will be the speaker. It'll be a fun event, and it will raise some funds that are critical to keeping Catholic radio on the air in this area. Tickets are $65 per person, or you can round up some friends and save some money with a table for 8 for just $450. Tickets are available right now online at Catholic Radio Indy or by calling 317-870-8400. And special thanks to Franciscan Health for their help in underwriting the cost of this year's event.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley's in the studio with me, as well as our guest, Grant Freeman. He is the assistant campus minister at St. Thomas Aquinas in West Lafayette, which is the Purdue University campus. And that church is right there on campus, which is absolutely wonderful for young people to mm-hmm. just plug in there, right?
Smack dab in the middle. That's where we like to be.
And when before the break, we were talking about how young people, and I guess really all people, kind of get to a point in their life and they are looking for meaning. Mm. How do people, and how do you guide young people, and guess basically anybody, in terms of finding meaning from the Catholic perspective?
Wow, that's a big
question. I know that is.
Yeah. I think it starts with...
And you've done this for a while, so you...
a little bit, you've
got a little experience in here.
So I think that it starts off with trust. Trusting that God has given us everything that we need in making us in His own image and likeness, and planting in us a desire for something that really does exist. I mean, a hunger in us that says there is something to sink your teeth into.
And we are kind of restless until we rest in God. So until we find God, I guess, or mm-hmm. get in that relationship, it is easy to think, well, What is the meaning? Why am I doing all this?
Yeah, and because our senses and our emotions are so powerful,
yeah,
oftentimes we're tempted to think that the first answer and the easiest answer is the best answer.
Mm-hmm.
And
whatever's expedient, you know, yeah, in the fast food world culture now.
Yeah, oftentimes we find out that the first idea is the best idea. I was working in my basement with my son James, and he's 7, and I gave him the task of trying to move this 50-pound bucket from one end of the basement to the other, and he went over to lift it, and it was just too heavy for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a big dude, but he's not that big. Mm-hmm. He's only 7, right? And he said, "I can't." I said, "Well, sit on the thing and just think about it for a second." And he thought for a bit, and then he started to drag the bucket across the floor until he reached the carpet, and then it wouldn't slide so easily. First, it was on tile.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, "I only got it this far. Now what am I?" I said, "Sit down and think about it." And so he thought about it for a while. And all of a sudden, after a few minutes, because I had to be patient, he jumped up, turned the bucket on its side, and rolled it the rest of the way across.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
He figured it out.
It was a development, but it wasn't his first answer.
Uh-huh.
And so you have to listen to the way the bucket was made. You have to look at how it was made, and then you have to treat it accordingly and get it across the expanse. And that's what really counseling is. It's listening well and actually helping someone listen, because we're always listening to our desires, to our fears, to our hopes, to our dreams. We're always listening to that. But oftentimes we don't have the interpretation to understand where it's telling us to go. And that, I think, is where the Catholic faith is such a helpful guide. It's a mother,
mm-hmm,
that tells us that the journey is worth it. It's going to cost you your whole life. In fact, it will lead to the cross. You will ultimately have to die. And yet, that is exactly the price you have to pay for the ultimate reward, which is a relationship with everything.
So true, and it's kind of a hard selling point. Well, you have to die, people, to.
It's not a hard selling point if we're able to couch the reward in terms that someone wants,
mm-hmm,
right? If you promise someone that, you know, hey, guess what? You get to suffer and then sit on a cloud. Well, maybe I don't want to sit on a cloud.
Right.
Yeah. But
right,
if you say all of your heart's desires that you have right here, right now, for all the pleasures of sex and food and whatever happens to be, you say all that, that's just the appetizer.
Mm.
And they're like, but all I know is the appetizer. And you're like, yeah. Okay. Well, you can have the appetizer and the whole meal, and the whole thing will work together, but you have to do it in the proper order. Right? And that's where we have to, the analogy breaks down, of course, but you have to go through things, putting the first things first. And that may not be the desires come first. Maybe they come second.
So at the break, I mentioned something about giving advice. I wanted some advice for, mm-hmm, people that have anxiety, yeah, because anxiety can be a very big problem at college because you have all these other demands that you didn't have before.
Right.
But then he said he wasn't gonna give advice.
Yeah, you know, it's
but
it's,
but explain that.
Yeah, so it anxiety can be like sitting here before the show starts. I had a little anxiety. What, mm-hmm, was gonna happen? And took a couple of minutes to get into it, but now I'm pretty comfortable talking,
mm-hmm,
with,
mm-hmm,
you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, for my advice would just be to walk you through what I just experienced. I had some anxiety, and I had to lean into it. I already said yes. Mm-hmm. I can't go running out the door.
I know. I said yes, too.
So I had to lean in it.
We're going to leave you here, Jim.
I had to pick up my cross, right?
Yep.
And then I had to depend on grace. I had to depend on the gifts that God has given me in my intellect, my experience. I had to depend that you all were going to be here to help me. And then I had to kind of go forth. I had to go on this adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are on, mm-hmm, this little
to
adventure.
Start to roll that bucket.
Yeah, and we're rolling the bucket, and we're rolling along. And this is so my advice is to acknowledge this is no picnic.
Mm-hmm.
This is
life and college, right?
Yeah, life is no picnic. You're going to suffer, right? Because it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So lean into it. get ready for it. Don't believe that when it's all figured out, then all of a sudden suffering goes away.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's always going to be a component of your life. So learn how to pick it up. And the sooner you do that, you're going to get stronger at picking up your sufferings.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get stronger picking up your cross. I mean, even the Lord fell down 3 times, but he had to keep going. So that's a good example.
And so what about support, like Christian community, at least for those in college, and any other things, just kind of from your youth ministry experience, that, you know, what can students do? Obviously, recognize it's going to be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Well, I think the first step is to do it yourself. Be a good friend, right? Be a good son. Be a good daughter. Be a good husband. Be a good wife first.
Mm-hmm.
And then you set the tone for everyone else. They might fail you, but you don't have to fail them. So a lot of people work with certainty. They're like, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Okay, fine. But you know you can make a decision that says, no matter what happens, I will do this. And you might fail because of weakness or whatever, but keep after it. So be a good friend. And relationship with your neighbor is imperative for the journey. We have to have that. So my advice is, when you get to college or you get anywhere in life, form a good relationship, and it has to start with your neighbor. Saints are not made in pews. Saints are made in neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
So what about families? Students can be proactive in terms of what you've been talking about, but what about families? I mean, is there something that families can do to help prepare students for life and for college?
Yeah.
In terms of also being relational and avoiding it or not, and coping with anxiety, I guess.
Sure. And I think that goes back to the same thing I just said. Realize that conflict happens, and that we have to get good at conflict resolution. The best relationship isn't one that doesn't have any problems in it. It's the one that has problems, and those problems get resolved or reconciled. And so if families, when you see problems happening, you know, take a few minutes, take a time out, listen to what the other person desires. Maybe not what they're saying, but what their desires are. And acknowledge those are good as far as you're able. And then say, how can we reconcile this? How can we continue to move through this conflict to a resolution?
So in terms of this idea of mental health and spirituality, is this mm-hmm. kind of a new field of study, or is this something that has been around for a while?
It's connected in the very makeup of our being, right? We're mind, soul, heart, and body. I mean, in Mark, it says, love the Lord your God with your whole mind, your whole heart, your whole being, your whole spirit. So the components of mental health, your psychological, emotional well-being, and your spirituality, your longing for God, they're knit together in you. Right, and so maybe some people have identified religion as, you know, a major problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Freud maybe would have identified that, but nowadays it is widely known that spirituality, religion, is a very important part of mental health. Of course, they're not synonymous. You have a spiritual director, and you can have a counselor. I mean, 100% of people have issues that they would benefit from having another set of ears on.
Mm-hmm.
So there
now,
you have it.
Would you say, is there an increase in the incidence of mental health problems today, or is it just that we have better tools of diagnosing it, or both? You know what I'm saying? It just seems like more and more, I don't know if it's an awareness or if there's just actually more people that are dealing with mental health issues.
Yeah, I would say both.
Okay.
I would say both. Obviously, there's when the mind, the soul, and the heart, you know, when that's more connected, as in history, there's always been this relationship between religion and life. Up until, you know, recently, I mean, past couple hundred years, but now with that split, there's kind of a breakdown in the family. There's you're seeing that all over the place. So the relationships, there's a poverty of relationships right now. But we're also getting a lot better at helping people that are experiencing this suffering and diagnosing it.
So what can parents and or students do? You know, we got about 3 minutes left to improve those relationships. Number one is to be a good friend, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to know that
and you're a parent, so you're doing this kind of simultaneously in the sense of that you're forming your own children.
Yes, and the jury's still out on how well I'm doing.
I know it's a long you have to take a long view. I know I've got teenagers, so.
So one is to be a good friend. The spiritual life that you have, depending on grace, depending on the sacraments, go to confession, acknowledge before God your own failures, and then it might be all right to do that in front of somebody else too, and to ask for forgiveness, right? And then depend on the Eucharist. I mean, I just cannot stress enough, if you have the Lord before your eyes, he will strengthen you. Without prayer, the whole endeavor is a failure.
So on the college campus or in daily life, start with prayer.
Yes. So it's not just start there, but finish there too. And so the other thing is that it's not segmented off; they're integrated into one another. You can pray, while you work, and you can work while you pray. So
that's great. Well, you have given us a lot to think about here. Anything you're looking forward to with this particular year starting up?
I'm just looking forward to the kids coming back to school. We have so many wonderful people that are part of our organization. We have 13,000 Catholics at Purdue.
Wow.
We have a huge number of people there. We see over 2,500 of them regularly. I mean, the men's group alone has 200 guys in it. And the small groups that we have going, they meet with 300 people every week. So these are small groups that meet in the dorms, and they're fostering these relationships. It's a culture of vocational discernment, vocation to be a saint, vocation to be married or to be a religious or a priest, and then a vocation to honest and good work that gives meaning to your lives. And so those three levels of vocation, that's what we're looking to foster in these people at St. Thomas.
Well, we'll have to send some brochures so people can listen to our podcast and our shows, because you're not too far away from us.
That's right.
Well, you've been a great guest. Our guest today has been Grant Freeman, Assistant Campus Minister at St. Thomas Aquinas West Lafayette Purdue University Campus, talking about college life, mental health, and spirituality. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
God bless.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400. Or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.